honoring veterans from sea to shining sea. You're listening to Hometown Heroes with Paul Leffler, brought to you by this local station and its sponsors, and presented everywhere, on the air and online, by Provident Payments, one of the fastest-growing payment consultants in America. Connect today at providentpayments.com.
Welcome back to Hometown Heroes and our visit today with 96-year-old Frank Gallo of New Canaan, Connecticut. He served with the 78th Infantry Division in Europe during World War II, making it through the Hürtgen Forest and the Battle of the Bulge. When we left off, he had just told us what it was like to cross the Ludendorff Bridge over the Rhine at Remagen.
What do you remember about the guys you served with? Did you get very close with them?
Oh, yeah. In fact, I have one guy who lived in Jersey. We kept in contact all the time. We went to all the reunions together, and I used to visit him. He was 3 hours from Atlantic City. Yeah, we got very friendly. He came up here. We used to go down there.
When you guys would be at those reunions, what kind of stuff would you talk about?
Well, they would talk. I listened to guys, and that's how I found out we were in the Bulge. I didn't know we were in the Bulge. I saw one of the guys with a patch. I said, what do you know? Well, we're in the Bulge. Well, you don't know. Nobody's saying, well, this is the Bulge.
Right.
You know, you hear guys talking. Well, you remember we were in the corner looking around the building there? I don't remember nothing like that. I think they made up a lot of it.
Yeah, everybody's in a different place with a different view. As, you know, your 19th birthday in February, get into March and April. We all know May 8th is VE Day when they finally surrendered. Were there some signs that you saw that told you, hey, we're getting close, this might not last that much longer?
Yeah, it was probably toward the end of April there. The Germans were more or less giving up. You know, they were capturing a lot of guys, and it wasn't as much fighting, so you could see it was coming to an end. But after the war, they were getting us ready to go to the Pacific, which I'm glad the Japanese gave up.
And were you aware at all during this time of the concentration camps or what had been done to the Jewish people and other political prisoners of the Nazi regime?
I mean, after the war, I was aware of it, yeah. But nobody ever told us anything during the war.
Did you guys end up passing through any of those places?
No.
And, you know, with regard to VE Day, do you remember where you were and what that news meant to you?
I'm glad it was over, yeah. But I didn't like that we were getting ready to go to the Pacific.
Yeah, and what does that mean? What did they do with you? Did they send you somewhere for more training? Or
no, wherever we were, they were training us more. But I'm glad it was over there. And that's when I decided, well, get in the kitchen. It was an opening for the kitchen. I could have stayed with the troops, but then you become sergeant. You'd still have to train, and you still have to do duties stuff. And with the kitchen, you work 3 meals and you're off 3 meals. Your time is off as your own. So it was like a job. So I'm glad I got that. I wasn't a cook, but I learned.
And when did you get to come home?
April of 46.
So you were there in occupation for almost a year. What kind of stuff was happening during that time? I'm sure you saw some things or met some people that still stay in your memory.
We had German KPs, stuff to help in. And you met a lot of people. In Berlin, a lot of the Germans spoke English. In the smaller towns, they didn't. So it was a lot easier then.
And so you had German prisoners working for you in the kitchen?
Yeah.
How'd you get along?
All right. Yeah. As I say, they didn't want to fight either any more than we did.
Do you have an idea? This is a long time ago, right? Most of the people who are going to hear this weren't alive during World War II. Why does it still matter? Why should we be aware of what happened then and what you and 16 million other Americans in uniform did?
Well, because I think we did something at the time to save the country. But when I look back and the way the country is today, I think we wasted our time. Because in such state of affairs today, I don't know what happened.
Is there something that you look back on that maybe characterized that time period or that generation during World War II that maybe we'd do well to learn from today?
Well, I don't know how to say it, but I think at that time, everybody that went in the service had a reason to be there and had a dedication to what they wanted to do and hoped that the country would come out of it better. And all those women that went to work helping the cause, it was something that should be brought up today where they think the same way, and they don't. I have to laugh at, we lose power today, and all you see in the paper, oh, gee, I was out of power for 2 days. They don't realize they had a roof over their head. They had clothes to wear. They had food to eat. They don't realize the GIs had no power. They just lived outside. They had no clothes to change. They couldn't say, wait, I have to go to the bathroom. There were no bathrooms. They don't realize what the guys went through. And to complain because they lost power for 2 days, I have to laugh.
Well, you're putting it in perspective. You're helping us out. What was it like to come back home, to see your family again, to see America again?
It was great. Yeah, I was glad to be back and glad to be back in the family and doing things that we wanted to do. Took a year off, didn't go to work.
Did you sail into New York?
Yeah.
Again, not trying to put thoughts in your head or words in your mouth, but a lot of the guys who came into New York have mentioned seeing the Statue of Liberty.
We saw it when we went out. We saw it when we come back. It was something you always wanted to see. I never did till I went in the service. And it was really a meaning to come back and see it.
That's what I was wondering, if it felt different coming back than going out.
Yes, because you never thought you'd see it coming back.
And then you had a life in front of you. Did you meet your wife after that?
Yeah, I met her in the end of 46 on a blind date. So we went 3 years and got married in 1950.
A blind date? How'd that get set up?
Well, I knew a friend that lived next door to a girl that went to school with my wife, and they put it together. So the blind date that worked out.
Yeah, I guess they knew what they were doing, huh? And we're sitting in a home that you and your wife built with your own hands.
Yeah. Yeah, I have a video of my wife on the roof hammering the shingles. And yeah.
And working specifically with wood is something you've been doing most of your life?
As a hobby, yeah. I made my dining room set before I got married even.
And you're still doing stuff like that?
Not big things. I do a lot of scroll work.
Something tells me there's a few people in Connecticut that have some of the stuff you've made.
Oh, yeah, yeah. But I never sold anything. I always used it for gifts, and housewarming, stuff like that.
Is there a particular item you've made that maybe you took the most pride in or felt like, hey, I did a really nice job on this one?
I don't know. I made something religious for and it's in the church even. I have one here. I'll get it.
So what you have here is a cross with angels on all sides of it, and it looks like you could snap an angel into place here or there, but you've carved this all out of one piece of wood.
Yes, with the scroll saw. It takes a lot of time to get all these little parts there.
And you still have all your fingers.
Yeah, so far.
So you have one of these in your home here, but you also decided to give one to your local parish here?
Yeah, I gave one to him, and I gave one to the church in Saugatuck because he was a pastor here, and then he got a job in a different church.
So if someone is at St. Aloysius here in New Canaan, they can look up on the wall and see one of these?
Yes, when you go in the office on the wall.
And it'll still be hanging there when you're ice skating on your 100th birthday and maybe a long time after that, huh?
I think so.
Just trying to think if there's anything I've left out. And I know you're a very humble guy and you went through a lot in the war. Is there anything that I didn't ask you about that when you think back, you think it's important to mention?
Not that I could think of.
Well, I don't want to forget to say thank you. Thank you for serving our country and thank you for telling us this story as only you could. I'm always fascinated to learn. Is there something when you think back on all this? And it's clear you have. You've thought about this a lot over the years. It's not something you can forget about. Is there something when you think back on it that you would say you're most proud of or that you're most thankful for?
I don't have any one thing that I could say, you know, just that I'm glad that I was able to serve and come back alive.
What is it that keeps you going now? Because, I mean, you're 96, you're still doing woodworking, you're still driving, you're impeccably dressed, your tie is perfect with the knot right there. I wish I could tie a knot like that. I'm sure you get asked this a lot. What's your secret to staying so sharp and with it and youthful?
Well, I walk every day. I'm in with the human services. They have Fitbit. I try to do 7,000 steps a day, which I do every day. Then I eat normal, watch my weight, but it's no fun living alone. Do everything, wash clothes, cook. I do get Meals on Wheels 3 times a week. That helps. But I cook for my daughter sometimes because she's too busy and she's a vegetarian. And I go out every morning to Burger King for coffee. To sit home and eat by yourself, it's no fun. And you meet some nice people there. I mean, a lot of people think fast food place, all you get is derelicts, and you meet some nice people there. I met this one woman born in Italy, and she lost her husband 10 years ago. She's an artist. And we got pretty friendly, and she had problems. So I was driving her to the doctor and stuff. And there's about 4 widows that I watch over. They have a problem, this doesn't work or that one, I go down and help them out.
Kind of sounds like you're saying what keeps you young and energetic is you still have a lot of purpose in your life.
Yeah, but lately I've been wondering what sense of even getting out of bed, you know. When you're laying in bed, you're safe, nothing's happening. Got to get up and face the world. And just some of the things you see out there, it's pathetic. Politicians, they don't care anything about the country. They care about themselves.
Wonder if their perspective might be different if they had spent a few nights in a frozen foxhole in the Bulge.
I think it would. Well, didn't Blumenthal say he was in Vietnam? Never was.
Thanks for being patient with me. I'm just wondering maybe one more question. What kind of advice would you have for young people today? I mean, you mentioned your great-grandson looking at him when he's 18 and the contrast between when you were 18 and pondering that. But for young people today who might be listening to this, what's the best advice you could share?
Honor your mother and father and listen to them and do things that should help other people and not only things for yourself. That's all I could say. These kids, the way they're brought up today, they have to have every digital thing that's out there. And they don't want it for long, because when the new one comes out before the end of the year, I got to have that one. No patience. And it's a shame they don't understand what life is about. I still pick up pennies I see in the street, and these kids throw things away. But I don't know if you can blame them, because they don't know any better.
Well, that makes me wonder what you would say is the most important thing your parents taught you.
That to watch what you're doing, be careful, any money you have, be friendly to all your neighbors or whatever, and do the best you can no matter what you're doing. And that's what we did when we went to school. That's about it.
That's about it. And that's just about right, isn't it? Frank Gallo, 96 years young. And before we sign off, let's hear very quickly from the retired Army colonel who let us know about Frank and his unique story.
My name's Don Carmel, and I've known Frank Gallo for several years. I met him at the VFW in New Canaan. And all I have to say about him is he's one of the most humble persons you'll ever meet in your life. And he's religious, and he's just a truly honorable person. That's all.
Was there something you heard him say in describing his World War II experiences or just his life that really grabbed you or made an impact on you?
It's not so much that. He doesn't talk about it. And when prompted, you could see his humility and where it's like, you know, I don't want to brag about things. And so your interview today is really special because it's the first time I've ever heard him, you know, actually talk about his experiences. And it reminds me of my dad, who served in the Second World War II, who never spoke about any of this until late in life when I kept prodding him and he'd talk a little bit here and there, but he's the same, repertoire.
The same can be said of so many of the World War II veterans we've had the privilege of meeting here on Hometown Heroes. Another layer of why Tom Brokaw labeled them all with that apt moniker that has really endured, the greatest generation indeed. Thanks to Don and to Frank, and thank you for listening today. I'm Paul Leffler, reminding you again that freedom is not free.
To let Paul know about a veteran in your life, visit hometownheroesradio.com and click on Suggest a Veteran. Today's program has been brought to you by Provident Payments. Give your business the edge only their personalized service can deliver at providentpayments.com.